Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Let's begin.
It's now time for The Locker Room with Bob Brown on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
All right. Everybody's here, and that means we can get down to business.
Bob is taking your calls at 994-1017, 994-1017.
You want me to talk about it?
You can also hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at 1017 The Team.
It's time for...
And now, it's The Locker Room and Bob Brown.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Locker Room. Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning us in. Two more hours of fun coming your way here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. I hope it's going to be fun. I do, Mike. I hope it's going to be fun. But I don't know. I mean, it just seems every day more and more of the protest talk, the real world colliding with sports. And we've talked about it many times on the program. And I've said I've been in the business a long, long time, sports guy, pretty much my entire life. And I've seen this just the way it's the trend, the way it's gone the last 10, 12, 15 years, that more and more often the real world, you know, invades the sports world that we love so much. And I said, you get used to it because that's just the way it's going to be. 994-1017 is our phone number. Sports news, Adrian Peterson. He's going to be out for a while, out 3 to 4 months with a torn meniscus. They thought maybe he was going to be able to come back, but now they're saying, nope, surgery tomorrow, out 3 to 4 months. Jay Cutler, we talked about Cutler yesterday. Hey, come on, it's a thumb. Who needs a thumb to throw a football, right? Took himself out of the game, a lot of blowback. Now they're saying Jay Cutler out 2 to 3 weeks, sprained right thumb. So how do you feel now about all those horrible things you were saying about Jay Cutler? Now they're saying it's bad. He's going to be out maybe 2 or 3 weeks. That's what's going on the field, I guess you could say. Off the field, I guess you could say more protests today. The very latest, Seattle Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman, media day in Seattle as they get ready for their game this weekend. And he said he's declining to take questions at the weekly news conference today. Instead, he wanted to share his thoughts on athletes and social change. So this is a form of protest. He don't want to answer questions from the media today. Instead, he wants to tell them what he thinks about what's going on. He said, I'm not going to answer any questions today, and it's no offense to you guys, but I think the state of things in the world today is very interesting. I think you have players that are trying to take a stand and trying to be aware of social issues and try to make a stand and increase people's awareness and put a spotlight on it, and they're being ignored. Now, this falls into what I was saying, you know, a week ago, what I said, you know, Monday on the program, yesterday on the show, and that is what happens when the kneeling and the putting a fist in the air to protest doesn't get us anywhere. And then all of a sudden the networks start to basically just overlook it, ignore it, if you will. What happens next in terms of protesting? How do the protesters, in this case, how do they get attention? What's next? And how do we get past the talk and move toward solutions? I mean, those are the two big questions. Everybody wants to talk, but what does it add up to? Where does it take us? What are the solutions? And what's next when the kneeling or putting a fist in the air doesn't go anywhere? Richard Sherman, they're being ignored. The athletes are out there, the social issues, trying to increase people's awareness and put a spotlight on it, and the athletes are being ignored, he said. He went on to say today, whether they're taking a knee or whether they're locking arms, they're just trying to bring people together and unite them for a cause. I think the last couple of days, a couple of more guys have gotten shot and killed in the middle of the street. More videos have come out of guys getting killed, and I think people are still missing the point. The reason these guys are kneeling, the reason we're locking arms is to bring people together, to make people aware of this, that it's not right. It's not right for people to get killed in the streets. He says, I do a lot of community service. I go out there, I try to help kids. I try to encourage them to be better and to inspire them more. And when you tell a kid, when you're dealing with police, just put your hands up and comply with everything, and there's still a chance that they're going to get shot and no repercussions for anyone. That's an unfortunate time to be living. That's an unfortunate place to be in. Now, I wanted to do something on Ezekiel Elliott and the fumble issues he's got, if you want to say it's an issue. He's fumbled it twice last weekend. One of those he lost. Fumble concerns for Cowboy fans? His father has other concerns for his son, Ezekiel Elliott. And listening to what Richard Sherman said this afternoon, just a quick little statement on what Ezekiel Elliott's father, Stacy Elliott, said about his son and the fumbles. But he didn't want to talk about fumbles because he says basically fumbles up. He's got bigger concerns than fumbling the football. The father of Ezekiel Elliott says, my biggest worry for my son is I don't believe my son knows how to navigate in life being a superstar. He says Zeke Elliott's like a little boy who wants to play football, have fun, and enjoy people. We've always said that about Ezekiel, he said. Ever since he came into the world, this is the part I really want you to hear. He's just happy to be alive. He's a happy guy, but this world is not. Kind of goes to what Richard Sherman was saying there. So Colin Kaepernick, we told you about it yesterday. Today, another poll, another survey has been done. This one on what Americans think of NFL football players, who they dislike the most. It may surprise you, it may not surprise you who's made the list. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, here's Colin Kaepernick on those death threats we talked about.
I've had a few come my way, but not too concerned. I mean, to me, if something like that were to happen, you've proved my point. And it'll be loud and clear for everyone why it happened. And that would move this movement forward at a greater speed than what it is even now. Granted, I want that to happen.
Very optimistic.
But that's the realization of what could happen. I mean, and I knew there were other things that came along with this when I first stood up and spoke about it. So that's not something I haven't thought about.
I'm Colin Kaepernick there. He's the first to come out and say, hey, I've gotten death threats. Miami safety Michael Thomas has now come out and said, he received death threats. He's taken a knee along with Arian Foster and a couple of other players in Miami these last couple of weeks. So he's also experienced death threats. How do we get past talk? How do we move towards solutions? Big question. And what's next when kneeling and putting a fist in the air doesn't do anything? It doesn't further the story. I mean, you heard Richard Sherman there, or at least I told you what he said. Athletes are trying to bring awareness to this, but he says basically they're being ignored. Latest survey says 1,100 people surveyed by ePoll Marketing Research. They wanted to know which NFL players you like and don't like the most. The poll was taken last week. Colin Kaepernick, quote, disliked a lot by 29% of those that were polled. 350 players, okay? They ask about 350 players in the survey. Colin Kaepernick disliked a lot by 29%. Second on the list, Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston, 22%. Dislike a lot. Ndamukong Suh, Miami Dolphins, 21% said disliked him a lot. Fourth on the list, Tom Brady at 13%. And rounding out the top five, if you will, Ben Roethlisberger, 10% said disliked a lot by those surveyed. So Colin Kaepernick, this is 1,100 people surveyed. You like these football players or not? He was at the top of the list. They dislike him a lot, 29%. In August, 2 years ago, the last time the poll was taken, Mike, Kaepernick, remember fresh off taking the Niners to the NFC Championship game before losing to the Seattle Seahawks? He was only disliked a lot by 6% of the population. So 2 years ago, his heyday as a quarterback for the Niners, taking him to the NFC Championship game, 6% disliked him a lot. Now, after taking a knee, sitting during the national anthem, becoming the spark in this, 29% dislike him a lot. Now, among African Americans, Kaepernick has never been more popular. The poll shows 42% of African Americans now say they like 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick a lot, while only 2% of African Americans dislike Colin Kaepernick a lot. 2 years ago, only 16% of African Americans said they liked Kaepernick a lot. So, I mean, we told you about the survey yesterday and how it was really divided amongst, you know, racial lines here. You want to weigh in on it? 994-1017 is the phone number if you want to join us. How do we get past the talk? How do we move towards solutions? And really, what's next? I mean, this is the first I've heard a pro football player, Richard Sherman, saying these guys are taking a knee and they're locking arms, and basically none of you people care. They're being ignored. As I said on Monday, if you watch the pregame shows on Sunday, this story was all but ignored. Why? Well, the networks, their response was basically, hey, there's nothing new to this story. What are we going to say? Player A and Player B and Player C and now Player D and E, they're taking a knee before the game? Okay, we've kind of done that. So what's next when kneeling or putting a fist in the air gets no attention and people look at it and just go, okay, get on with the game. Enough of this. What happens next? Is it violence? Is that what we see next? Back to Stacy Elliott, Ezekiel Elliott's father. Hey, Zeke, he's just been a happy kid from day one, man. He always wanted to just have fun. He's happy to be alive. He's a happy guy, but this world is not. To the phones we go, 994-1017. That's our number here on the program. Jake, appreciate the phone call. You're in the locker room.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Jake.
Hey, so I just wanted to talk about, this recent shooting in Tulsa of Crutcher, the guy who was shot by the female police officer.
Yep.
It's really interesting how these things are covered. You know, now it's come out that he had PCP in his car and in his system, and he wasn't shot with his hands up in the air. He was shot while he was trying to reach into the driver's seat of his car.
Oh, wow. I've heard conflicting stories on that. I've heard that maybe the window wasn't down, that he maybe wasn't reaching in the car. I heard there was possible PCP in his car. I hadn't heard that it was in his system. That would be new to me. I haven't heard that, but I heard a couple of different conflicting information about that story.
Certainly, if you look at the still video that's taken from the helicopter flying overhead, you can see that his hands are not up. He's reaching for something. But my question to people like, you know, Richard Sherman and Colin Kaepernick is, what do we do when someone's on PCP resisting arrest and reaching into their car? What are police officers supposed to do? Just turn their back and let themselves get shot and killed? That's the problem I have with all this. I'm not saying, you know, African Americans deserve to get shot. I'm not saying that at all. But when you have someone who's behaving suspiciously and is on drugs and resisting police commands, what are the police officers supposed to do? They've got wives and kids and families to protect.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. They need to protect themselves. They need to obey the law themselves. If they break the law, then I think they need to be, you know, the full extent of the law needs to be carried out. If a cop, you know, shoots somebody and it's found to be, you know, that he wasn't in harm's way, it was unlawful, then the full extent of the law needs to come down on that police officer. I think each case is, you got to take it individually. But I hear what you're saying. I completely understand what you're saying. I mean, you know, I don't want to be a cop. I don't want to have to go out there and face these people in the middle of the night, pull people over on the side of the road somewhere where it's real dark. And I thank God I don't have to do that. I'm happy there are people willing to do that for us, because if they didn't, we wouldn't have much of a society here.
And I think that's what this all comes down to, is it's really easy to say, you know, oh, African Americans are being victimized or all police are being brutal. It's not a black and white. Like you said, you have to consider every case-by-case category. And I think people like Colin Kaepernick and Richard Sherman aren't doing that. They're making a generalization where they need to consider on a case-by-case basis what actually happened.
I would agree that we paint with a broad brush in a lot of different ways and in a lot of different situations. Thanks for the call, Jake. I appreciate that, man. I really do. Give us a call again. Steve, you're next up. You're in the locker room.
Hey, how's it going, Bob?
It's going well. Steve, thanks.
Good. I'm about to call a prior. I don't really see how he cannot understand it. I mean, I guess you really can't understand it if you're not a minority. I'm from a small town in Texas. I'm about 40 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
I've dealt with racism since I was born. I mean, I'm in Albuquerque. I deal with it on a day-to-day basis. If you've never went through anything like that, being called something other than your name, being spit on, being pushed on, being picked on just because of your color, you really can't speak on this. It is a black and white thing because white people aren't getting killed like this.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, 2 days ago, there was a group of white guys on the East Coast who was actually shooting at the police. What they do, they tased them. This brother's in the street because his car is broke down, mm-hmm. and the other guy before me was wrong because the blood is on his window, so he wasn't reaching for nothing. But we getting shot for no reason. I mean, I get my son, and I go straight home now. I'm scared to go out anywhere, and it's not because I'm scared of anything, but we're not doing anything wrong. It's funny that all these stories come out after that, and they shot that brother, man. I mean, honestly, cops are getting paid to kill us and get on leave. They're going on leave with pay. They don't have to give a reason as to why they're shooting us or what. But it is to the point where we are so scared that we have to take our own options now because, obviously, the police aren't helping us at all. As a matter of fact, 2 days ago, I got pulled over. I got a brand-new Infiniti. I'm a decent-looking brother, man. Like, I got money. I got everything like that. I got pulled over because he wasn't sure it was my car. Now, I started shaking to the point where my hands couldn't even hold my driver's license, and luckily, my son, who was 5 years old, was in the back seat. If he wasn't with me, I really think something was going to happen that way. And for us to feel that way is not right. I think, as far as black people go, I've been fighting this stuff, man, for all my life. And if people who have money that are rich and black or black ethnicity have money are getting treated the same way, that tells you what kind of country we're in, because I guarantee you 90% of people who are not black do not want to be black.
If they had an option
to be black or white, they're going to go ahead and choose white, because everybody in this country knows how hard it is to be a black person. And to be a black man at that is even harder.
Yeah, and I can't speak to that because I'm a white dude, man, so I can't, and I haven't walked in your shoes. I think both sides can sometimes, though, paint with a broad brush. I'm not gonna say all cops are out to shoot unarmed black men. I don't believe that. I mean, there's bad apples in every bunch. You know, there's bad cops out there, rogue cops. They need to be held accountable. I'm with you on that.
You're right.
But why
is the cop coming to my car with his hand already on his gun? What have I done? What have I done to make you feel like I'm going to take your life? I'm driving with my son. Why is your hand on your gun already?
I can't answer that. I don't know what police procedure is when approaching somebody in a vehicle. I don't know those answers. But let me ask you this, because Richard Sherman, you could almost see it in his delivery today, talking to the reporters, that he's taken aback by a lack of want to know on the part of a lot of people that, okay, this patriotism, they're saying there's a lot of racism that's covered up by patriotism.
There is.
The Colin Kaepernick thing. But he came out today and he says, basically these athletes that are trying to bring something to the front here, that they're being ignored. And you could see the frustration on his part. And I can hear it in your voice as well. And I could say I get it, but again, I'm not you. I'm a white guy, so I haven't faced this my entire life, as you said you have.
For everybody listening right now, this is the best way I can explain it to you. There are some DVDs by a brother named Tariq Nassim.
Mm-hmm.
They are called Hidden Colors. There are 4 DVD sets. It will take you back to before Jesus, before Columbus said he was the first one over, all that lying stuff.
Yeah.
Listen to those DVDs. Study them. That will let you know where this country has came from and how they have done us as a people.
So, okay. Aside from that, before I go, Steve, I want to ask you this. How do we get past you and me talking about this? And I can tell you're upset and you don't like the way things are. How do we move from the talk to the solutions? And what do you think happens next if the kneeling and putting a fist in the air and being upset and being ignored continues? Where does this thing go? What does it lead to?
I think you know that answer, man. It's not a good one. I mean, we have to be treated as a human being, as a person, as an equal.
Yeah.
Another way around it. I mean, we haven't done anything wrong but be a little bit darker than other people, but we're getting reprimanded for it. So until you can watch Hidden Colors, those DVDs, that will really explain it to a lot of people who just don't, quote-unquote, get it.
All right, Steve, listen, I'm glad you listened to the program, man. I appreciate you calling, and it was good talking with you. Call again, okay?
Every day, Bob. You have a good one.
All right, man. You take it easy. I mean, that's, I guess, maybe when I ask the question, how do we get past the talk and move to the solution? I got a three-hour talk show here, and we talk sports, and this is, obviously, this is part of sports now because sports is such a part of Americana that we've got athletes that are talking about this. I don't think it's going to go away. It's ignored on the pregame show on Sunday, but you listen to Richard Sherman, he gets it, he understands. It's kind of being brushed aside, like, hey, let's get on to the football here. Wait a second, guys. We're not going to continue to ignore this here. I hope it doesn't lead to violence. Maybe talking about it, me, Steve, whoever, we're talking about it. Maybe that's just the route we've got to take, Mike. Maybe that's what we've got to do. Maybe that gets us to the solution. You know, I don't want to just kick the rock down the road, as they say, but maybe this is how we slowly but hopefully surely get to the solutions. And maybe this is just where we are right now in time, that this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it a while, and we're just the ones that are going to have to talk about it until we talk ourselves blue in the face, and then we get to something, I guess. I don't know.
Well, the something is the population recognizing that these things are happening and an admission that those things are happening. The conversations are, you're absolutely right. The conversation keeps happening and it's a continuous conversation and sometimes it falls on deaf ears. And it's not an admission that all cops are bad or that all black people are bad or the broad brush strokes. Mm-hmm. It's just a very genuine understanding, a sincere attempt to remedy the problem instead of saying something like, oh yeah, we hear you on either side of the argument and then turning away and then not moving to the next step.
Maybe part of that blame falls on the media. Maybe they've just kind of, they've thrown the bullet points out there. Or they've put a little gas on the fire, so to speak, but they haven't enlightened us all by bringing this out and doing stories that show this over and over and over again. And maybe that's it. Or maybe people would say, well, I've seen the stories. We've seen the stories. But it doesn't take us anywhere.
I don't think you're off base there. I don't think that that's far from fact at all. And I think that these things, they're delicate and they take time and they take lots of time. And it takes guys like, excuse me, all of the people in our community as listeners listening to each other instead of somebody coming out here and beating it overhead. Our two prior callers couldn't have been further from each other as far as it seemed. They were on opposite sides, and you can't come into that conversation right away thinking that they're both wrong. There's no attempt to listen with a genuine sincerity and understanding, and that has to happen. That has to be the logical next step in this chain of events.
I don't know if you and I are going to be around long enough that that's something that we're going to see. I mean, I look at these polls today and yesterday's poll and how divided along racial lines they are. You know, when you ask a question about an NFL football player and it's like, well, all the white people think this, and all the blacks that responded to the surveys think this, and they're like worlds apart. You're like, okay, how do we bridge that gap? Because it sure seems like there's a big chasm in there that I don't see being filled anytime soon. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully us talking about it, maybe that's what it is. Maybe we talk about it enough, and it seems like it's repetitive, and we don't really get anywhere. But maybe if we talk about it enough, all of a sudden it becomes like, okay, so we've gotten past that because we've talked about this enough, and we take it to another level where we're a little more open-minded, both sides. And like I said, maybe this is where we are in time right now, that we're the ones that are having to just kind of talk and talk and talk, and maybe that leads down a road towards solutions, but it's a long road, and maybe we're just starting down that road. Maybe just the acknowledgement that there's a problem and it's being brought to our attention, that's the beginning. I got to take a break. We'll get right back to some more phone calls. 994-1017 is our number. I'm Bob Brown. This is ESPN Radio, 1017 The Team.
Hey Albuquerque, it's Bomani Jones, and you're listening to The Locker Room with Bob Brown here on ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.
Okay, as promised, back to the phones we go. 994-1017 is our phone number. We're talking about Richard Sherman. He declined all questions during the news conference up in Seattle today. He said, "Hey, I don't want to take questions. I just want to talk about how these athletes that are protesting are basically being ignored, not happy about it." And I asked the question, how do we get past the talk? How do we move toward solutions? And what's next when maybe the kneeling or putting a fist in the air doesn't get any attention anymore? Willie, you're next up. Appreciate you holding, Willie, but you are next up. You're on 101.7 The Team.
I appreciate it, Bob. First and foremost, I just want to say I got 3 points, and then I'll hang up and maybe listen to what you have to say.
Okay.
But a couple things I want to make sure that the city of Albuquerque understands. One, to answer your initial question, how do we move past it? The only way we can move past it and get to solutions and resolutions like you talked about mm-hmm. is if we are heard and people understand or empathize, if you will, and do something with us, not for us or against us, but with us. If you go back to the civil rights movement in the 60s, we didn't start making progress until white people, because like you said, I can't really truly understand what you're going through because I'm a white guy. I'm never going to be black, so how can I understand that? We didn't start making progress until white people started helping us because they saw what was going on. So when you see things on TV, this society has become so numb to things now because it's all over social media and all over TV. They act like that's not that's okay. But if you turn it around and you put it into a situation where it happens to be a white person or someone else of privilege, because it's not just white people that are privileged, then it hits home. Then it becomes important, right? Then you have other things. The second point is you have other things and other situations like consistency, or should I say the lack thereof consistency. You have a white boy who's a swimmer who goes to Stanford University, and a judge talks about how it's going to impact his career, that he ended up raping a young woman. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. He's a rapist. You talk about anybody else, that person is going to be in prison for the rest of their life. But then you talk about somebody else doing something, taking a knee or raising a fist or sitting down or whatever it is, and there's all kind of outrage. When people in the community, whether it's this community or any other community across the country, can put the same kind of time and effort into supporting what's wrong, because right is right and wrong is wrong, then we're going to see some change. And here's the last thing I want to point out, and this is how you can tell our society is in a bad situation. You have a couple of days ago, you had some guy sending bombs in New York City. Now, mind you, this is a couple of weeks, not even 2 weeks away from 9/11. And we have all this patriotism and everything. This guy put bombs in trash cans, had a shootout, okay? Not, you know, you heard a couple of callers back, which is what prompted me to call in. Mm-hmm. The guy was like, well, what if they're hopped up on PCP and what if they follow protocol and blah, blah, blah. Here's the point. This man was shooting at the police, okay? That is a threat. At that point, guess what? He didn't get shot. He didn't get killed. He didn't get put in his grave and put all over Facebook and Twitter and all the news. He was brought in alive.
I hear what you're saying. He did get shot, though. He got shot a couple of times.
Okay, fine. Yeah. He got shot. But the point is he didn't lose his life.
Yeah.
But a man who was stuck on the side of the road
mm-hmm.
ended up getting shot and killed. And then the other thing that the guy mentioned a couple of calls back is he said, you can clearly tell from the video still from the helicopter that the guy was reaching for something in the vehicle. Okay, if you also take a look at that still shot, or if you actually watch the video, there are four officers with guns drawn.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody is going to do anything or is stupid enough to do anything to reach into a vehicle, then yes, he's not going to make it. But the point is the man was stuck on the side of the road and called for AAA. And now all of a sudden cops show up. I'm sorry, but I don't know any white folks or any friends or family that I've ever had, because I'm actually mixed. I'm both, that would have ever experienced you call AAA and you have the police show up. So I'd love to hear your response, Bob. I'm going to hang up now because I'm pretty upset at the fact that we're having ignorance like this of people calling in. They don't even know what the hell they're talking about, trying to say that people are on PCP when those two things happen in the same weekend. But all of a sudden the focus is, We have people more upset about kneeling or raising a fist than we do about someone being shot in cold blood. But then a terrorist is going to sit there and try to bomb a city that's already been bombed once, and nobody says anything about it. Thanks, Bob.
Hey, good call, Willie. I appreciate you listening to the program, and I'm glad you got through. Let me hit the three because I wrote them down. You know, the bomber being taken alive when others that weren't doing anything like this end up dead in the streets. There may have been a priority in this case because they wanted to get all the information they could out of this guy to make sure there weren't other terrorists that were ready to strike again. I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying possibly the cops were under strict orders. Take this guy in alive. We don't want you to kill him. Now, he did get shot twice, and you know, I'm not going to say shot him in the head or shot him in the shoulder if their aim was that good. Fairness, consistency in the justice system, I think everybody would like to see that. You know, sometimes they say, hey, you buy yourself justice, right? You got the money. You can hire a good enough lawyer to get you off. Can we get consistency where this is the crime, you can't buy your way out of it? I don't know. Sounds like something that maybe we would like to see, but I don't know if that'll ever happen in our lifetime. And then the first thing Willie said, and I think this is the one that I really liked here, and this is the one that it may not be hard to do. And Willie says, you know, we, minorities, Willie said, they've got to be heard and people have to understand what they're going through, but they also need to kind of join the cause here, work together. As he mentioned, civil rights back in the day, civil rights really took off when they had white people kind of join the crowd and support them as well and protest alongside them. So we come together that way. Maybe hard to do, maybe easy to do for some. But I think that's the one that I look at, and I think that's how we get toward those solutions. When more from the other side, whether you're talking about these polls or surveys that are being done, join that other side of the poll or survey. I think you know what I'm talking about. Good call, Willie. I appreciate that. I really do, man. Next up, we'll get Scott in the locker room. Scott, you're on 101.7 The Team.
Hey, Bob, thanks for everything you do. You run a great show, man. I love it.
I appreciate that, Scott.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, is there a problem in this country? Definitely. Is there inequality in this country? Definitely. But I don't tune into sports to find out these guys' socioeconomic or political views. I tune into sports to watch the game, and I don't know. I'm fine with the networks pushing past it and getting to the game, quite frankly. Sports is an escape for me, you know. It gets me away from the real world. I'm not tuning in to find out what these guys think on the situation in the world. How do we solve it? I couldn't even begin to tell you. I'm just here to watch the game.
Well, I think there's a lot of people, you talk about hands up, don't shoot, but I think, forget about that, there's a lot of people who just have thrown their hands up on this whole thing and said, you know what, it's bigger than me, I can't do anything, my one voice over here, and I'm tired, I'm fed up with all of it. I just want to be able to sit down and watch my games and not think about all this other crap going on in the world. I mean, there are a lot of people, sounds like you're one of those, Scott, that's in that category.
Well, I got to tell you, I equate these guys with, you know, Rob Reiner or Alec Baldwin or any of these actors, or Bono from U2, for that matter. I mean, I'm not tuning into him to listen to his political views.
I don't care about
views.
Your political views, your leanings. I just want to see you act, or I want to see you perform, and that's it.
Exactly.
Don't tell me anything else. I don't care.
Hey, if you want to have a press conference after the game and talk about all your socioeconomic views and all of that good stuff, have at it. But I'm here to watch the game, so that's all I got, man.
All right, Scott. I think Scott speaks for a lot of people out there. I do. I think there's a lot of people that just, you know, hey, I'm going to put my head in the sand. I don't care about all this. I don't want to watch the evening news. I got my job. That's stress enough on me. It's not a problem for me, so I just want my sports. And I understand. I mean, I get that part of it. I do. But the other side of that is that, you know, we're all in this together. And as I said many, many times over the years, that sports is a part of America. And if sports is going to be a huge part of society in America, then we can't just shut our eyes to it. We can't turn our heads to it. As much as we'd like to sometimes, it's not going to go away if we just ignore it. It's only going to get worse. Got to take a break. More phone calls on the other side. 994-1017 is my phone number. Bob Brown, ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Hi, New Mexico. This is Mike Greenberg. You're listening to The Locker Room with Bob Brown right here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.